fighting for America.
Whether liberal or conservative, Democrat or Republican, white, black, brown, rich, poor, when it comes to our troops, we stand united. We are proud of you. We support you. And we can never thank you enough.
Fighting for Idaho.
Most of the freshmen that I've met are, yes, they're conservative members of Congress, but not the extreme conservative. Man, I can live with that because that's where I feel like I'm coming from.
Fighting for you.
I don't think marijuana should be treated any different than beer. I mean, you could outlaw obesity.
Hey.
Boise's Mr. Right.
A little too close to home, buddy.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. Kevin Miller in the Morning here, 580 KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We're joined by our great friend, good to have him back, author of The Global Vatican, Ambassador Francis Rooney. Ambassador Rooney, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on, Kevin.
Boy, did you ever think that we would see this historic news about Cuba?
No, I was quite surprised.
I think a lot of us are. It really didn't came out of nowhere, but a person that you're familiar with, apparently, as we just heard at the top of the hour, Pope Francis had something to do with this hostage exchange, this hostage release. Are you surprised that the Pope became involved in this?
No, not really. The Holy See has called for relaxation of the embargo and ending the isolation of Cuba for a long time. And both Pope John Paul and Benedict, when they went to Cuba, said the same thing. And when I was over there, the Secretary of State's people were always lobbying to get those five intelligence spies released and to relax the embargo. It's just part of their diplomacy so focused on people who are deprived liberty and are suffering deprivation of human dignity that they sometimes don't focus on the secular interest that might be involved in a diplomatic maneuver.
Well, a lot of Catholics wonder just what the deal is with Pope Francis. Your thoughts on him?
Well, I think there are a lot of Catholics that have been nervous by the theological moves that he's made, like through that extraordinary synod on the family. But we really don't know yet what he means and how far it'll go. You know, they made it clear that they were speaking of attitudinal and language changes to make the church more receptive to people who are not maybe acting in concert with church theology, but and not changing church theology itself. But I think that remains to be seen until they have the final synod next year.
Well, as someone who has worked in the Vatican, has represented America, for non-Catholics, can you explain the papacy and what it all means, and why is the Pope important not only to Catholics, to non-Catholics, and to world leaders?
Well, the Holy See has exerted a strong diplomatic presence in the world since the 8th century, and they've been recognized as a sovereign entity just like any other secular nation since that time. And as such, because of that sovereign recognition, but not having territory, not having a hegemonic agenda, they can exercise a fairly unique perspective of diplomacy from the point of view of human dignity and freedom, unfettered by the complicating issues of trade, politics, et cetera, like secular countries get into. And that's what I try to argue in my book, that their exercise of soft power adds a unique role in the world of diplomacy today.
Ambassador Francis Rooney with us, Kevin Miller in the Morning here at 580 KIDO. Do you buy what happened with Pope Benedict?
That he resigned?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I think that there was some pressure on him, both internally generated because of the problems with the Vatican Bank and all that, as well as maybe a little external pressure. But he basically was in very poor health from the day he got the job. And it was only and I heard that his health had deteriorated quite a bit in those last months. And I think that's a real act of humility for him to say, okay, look, I'm old and I'm tired, and I think it's time to turn the helm over to a new captain.
Are they different, though? Benedict was seen as the enforcer. Francis, pardon me, Ambassador Rooney at 580KIDO, seen as the reformer?
Well, he's definitely carved out some different turf, both in the theological sense with the extraordinary synod that we just talked about, and diplomatically when he started his diplomatic orientation towards speaking of social justice issues and the role of capitalism and in secular societies, much of which was misunderstood, by the way. But now he seems to be migrating back towards where Pope Benedict was with speaking out against the radical Islamic terror, calling for Muslims to come out of the woodwork and be part of the solution, and even mentioning the possible application of the just war theory to bring military opposition to ISIS.
Well, what gets me, though, when you talk about ISIS and everything else, sir, is just what they're doing and just the whole intolerance. And how do you deal with the Islamic threat? I mean, if all Muslims were bad, we'd have a lot more problems than we do right now.
Well, that's exactly right. And so the effort has got to be to, through interreligious dialogue, through speaking up, through building bridges with the non-radicalized parts of Islam, that they take some responsibility for reforming their own religion the same way we had to reform Judaism and Christianity over millions or thousands of years. And that's what the Pope's, the Holy See's diplomacy is all about, leveraging interreligious dialogue to bring Muslims into the discussion of how to modernize Islam.
580 KIDO, as we continue on, you take a look at going back to the Crusades and whether it's Osama bin Laden, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, they say that this is a battle between the infidels and the righteous. How does someone like the Pope counter the hate?
Well, all they can do is exercise this soft power and try to appeal to people's like-minded people's sense of dignity and integrity and belief system, and leverage that belief system into having more and more people speak up. You know, it takes a lot of pebbles to fill up the lake. And recently, after Regensburg, and here recently after Pope Francis getting into the thing, we've seen more Muslim leaders speak up. We've seen King Abdullah speak up in Saudi Arabia, which was an all-time first. The Jordan religion minister spoke up and basically said we need to fight ISIS culturally and ideologically as well as militarily, which is a very strong nod to the kind of diplomacy the Holy See exercises.
580 KIDO, Ambassador Francis Rooney with us here. What's Christmas like at the Vatican?
Oh, Christmas at the Vatican's incredible. Oh, the midnight mass is spectacular. The city of Rome is cold and really highly decked out with religious-oriented things. There's a concert series that goes all through December at the Gesù, the old Jesuit church of religious-oriented music. We went every one for 3 years, and there's a lot of visitors in, a lot of people on the streets, a lot of Vatican receptions. It's a real magical time. It culminates with midnight mass and then the blessing the next morning.
Amazing. Did you ever find yourself just getting lost in where you were?
I would find myself totally engaged sometimes, just like walking around and sitting in some of those churches and in the St. Peter's. That just kind of, it's a very profound experience to have access to so many unique church-related ceremonies and so much history as it is in Rome.
It is. What can we look forward to when the Pope visits this country?
Well, he's coming for the family conference, I think, so he'll probably be speaking of family issues. It'll be very interesting how this next chapter evolves about the extraordinary synod. And I imagine there'll be a lot of discussion in the media and maybe even from the Pope about family issues concerning the theology of the church when he's here.
Now, when you served our country under President Bush, you were there for John Paul?
No, just for Benedict. We came right after Benedict was installed.
Okay, because I'm looking at your time there, and I was just wondering, what was it like to speak to the Pope?
Oh, it was very moving. In fact, I wrote in my book, when I first went to see him in 2005, when we got over there, I was so nervous I could hardly speak. And he put me at ease. And he has a great little sense of humor, Pope Benedict, which he's not very well known for, but he does have one. And it put me at ease. And then I got about my business of saying the things that the White House had directed me to say. And he's smart, loves the United States, spoke a lot about the First Amendment. He may know more about the United States than Pope Francis, quite frankly.
Interesting. interesting when you take a look at this. So what can we look forward to Christmas time from the Vatican as you ponder your old post there? I mean, the Pope will be doing midnight mass. The cardinals will be there. What will be going on?
Well, recent years have seen some unfortunate Christian persecution and violence centered right around both the Day of Peace message on the 1st of January and around Christmas. And a few years ago, some radical Muslims blew up the cathedral in Alexandria, Egypt, right at Christmas, and also a church in Alexandria, a cathedral in Baghdad. And so I hope that doesn't happen this year, and I hope that the Pope uses the forum of Christmas to continue to speak up about the important problems that the world faces and the Holy See's opinion of how to deal with them.
Well, and that's the interesting part when we talk about the persecution of Christians around the world that continue. You take a look at what ISIS is doing, what Al-Qaeda is doing, what the Taliban has done, and on the other, where's the goodness to counteract it?
Yeah, no, that's right. And there's a lot of good Muslims that need to be coaxed out of the woodwork to counteract it. I think the Holy See's voice is important. And I think at some point, people need to focus on the Sharia law. We're a secular society that renders under Caesar and under God the different things that they deserve. And the Sharia law blurs that line in a way that we haven't seen since the Middle Ages. And I think that that needs to become the litmus test for the evaluation of whether someone is on one side or the other of the ability of religion to coexist with the modern world, which it's got to do.
Well, and you take a look at just how secularized the world has become, just how indulgent the world has become, and the Christian message needs to resonate now more than ever.
Well, that was the other part of the Holy See's diplomacy under Benedict and now under Pope Francis. Francis refers to it sometimes as materialism. Benedict always used the word secularism, but it's the same thing. And the argument there is that if you become too materialistic and too willing to trade freedoms for things you want, you end up with a government which is authoritarian and abusive to its citizens, because government will seek to take as much power as government can get.
Ambassador Francis Rooney, author of The Global Vatican, I have to ask you, one of your companies built the Cowboy Stadium. What was that like?
Oh, that was a great job for us. Our contract was a little over $800 million, and the job went very well. It was ahead of schedule. It was under budget. Quality's excellent. Mr. Jones is happy. And it was a huge accomplishment for our company because it was a very large job to have without a joint venture partner.
Okay, who was tougher to work with, the Pope or Jerry Jones? Who was more demanding?
Mr. Jones has been nothing but fair to us. We've done a lot of work for him, and he's always very appreciative of the work and very supportive, and he has a very good operation that makes decisions quickly. And the problem with building buildings is when the owner that you're working for doesn't make the necessary decisions, it's sometimes hard to keep the progress up that they want, because it's a team. It's a team of the owner. It's kind of a symphony, really, of the owner, the architect, the consultants, the building contractor, and the subcontractors and suppliers, and everybody's got to pull their weight to have a successful project.
Well, yeah, no, I'm just saying it must be a marvelous coup for y'all to be a part of the Cowboys Stadium when you take a look at just how much attention it gets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but we've had several very interesting projects during my time running the company. Our company is in its fifth generation now. It's an old company and had a lot of family in it for many years. But, we did the Capitol Visitor Center, adding on to the U.S. Capitol just before I went to Rome. And that was an equally impressive project. It was
that's underground, right?
It's all underground except for the remodel part, which goes into the rotunda, and very expensive. Involved new tunnels to the House and Senate, a new tunnel to the Library of Congress, a new utility tunnel out to the common steam plant for the Capitol and the Supreme Court, which is out past the Supreme Court. So we had to tear up a lot of the streets there, and we even had to underpin the southeast corner of the Capitol, which kind of made me nervous. I didn't want to be responsible for having the Capitol settle.
Right, right. I was going to say, are the old tunnels still there?
Yeah, they just added some.
Wow. You make it sound so easy.
Well, it was a complicated job. And, of course, it's all blast-proof, high security. It's got several skiffs in it for that they can meet and not be eavesdropped. And it's kind of a disaster-proof facility.
Well, Ambassador Rudy, we appreciate it. You have a Merry Christmas, sir.
Well, you have a Merry Christmas, too, Kevin, and thank you for having me on again.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Remember his book, The Global Vatican, Ambassador Francis Rooney and his company, as we were talking about, built the new Cowboys Stadium. And I didn't know that if you get to the Capitol, which every American should, and I know you're saying, Kevin, I don't have a lot of money. Every American should go to the Capitol. And I haven't been to the new visitor center, but it is underneath the beautiful rotunda, which they're actually remodeling. I would recommend that just to see just what it is to be an American. It's 619, Kevin Miller in the morning. You're listening to 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station. Let's get you to work.
John Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
625, Kevin Miller in the morning. By the way, props to Coach Harsin. We didn't get a chance to talk about this with Dave Burnett for sticking with the traditional Fiesta uniform or Fiesta Bowl uniforms for Boise State's big matchup against Arizona. Personally, Kevin, you're not a sports guy. Kevin, you're not a fan. You're right. I'm a traditionalist guy, so when you got the orange and the blue and everything else, I'm a fan of the all blue, and I'm a fan of the orange pants, the white shirt, and the old logo. I like the old logo. Why? Because it's different. You've got the Boise State Bronco. You've got the Western Michigan Bronco or the Stallions or the Broncos or whatever they are. And it's a great logo. But the Boise State one where it had the actual Boise State on it, I thought it was very unique. And sometimes being unique is better than being fashionable. So big props to the Broncos as they get ready to take on Arizona. And welcome to the Arizona, Air Force Falcons here. Also to the Western Michigan Broncos. Great to have you here. We were talking about the Potato Bowl and what it means to our local community, but it's great to have folks coming in and getting a part of the Treasure Valley. I wish y'all had snow so you could do the, the tube ride down Bogus Basin, but apparently they did some car riding and stuff yesterday. Something, though, that I'm kind of excited about. I don't get these a lot. When you're younger, you do get these moments, the "see, I told you so" moments. Yesterday we were talking about this, the interview, remember that? And everybody talking that we're going to stand up for the First Amendment. And how dare the hackers and the North Koreans and everybody else go after this. We're going to stand up for freedom. Well, freedom took a blow yesterday.
Kim Jong-un is now capable of nuking all of the West Coast. The point is, we're talking about nuclear nations at war with each other.
Why are you telling us all this information?
Well, we're telling you this because you two, lucky gentlemen, are going to be in a room alone with him. Congratulations, by the way.
That's right!
There you have it. James Franco and Seth Rogen, two dopes. By the way, to my friend Max, who's listening, saying, "Oh, Kevin, they're great. You got to see this, that, and the other." I don't agree. I don't like their humor. I think it's adolescence, and I'm saying that as a prude. However, I am taking a look at this. You have to be a complete dope in the world that we live in today to make fun of the North Korean dictator. This isn't Team America against the world. This is real life. And to think that the North Korean dictator would not take it personally.
The CIA would love it if you two could take him out. Take him out.
Take him out.
Like for drinks?
No. Take him out.
Take out. Like to dinner?
Take him out to a meal?
Take him out.
Like on the town?
Party?
No. Take him out.
You want us to assassinate the leader of North Korea?
Yes.
What?
There you have it. Unlike popular fiction, life is not about being two idiots stoned out of your mind saying dumb, irrelevant adolescent things. What? Sony cancels the theatrical release of The Interview. Ho, ho, ho. North Korea wins. Newt Gingrich even tweeting, "This is the first cyber war that we've lost." Hey, bright lights, big city. You don't make dumb moves. And you don't mess with someone. Ray Amaya, perhaps so we could do a song in honor of this. I know we're supposed to be doing Christmas music, but You know, Bad, Bad Leroy Brown. You remember that song from the old day? You don't tug on Superman's cape. I'm getting my songs confused. Bad, Bad Leroy Brown's another one. You don't mess with Jim. You don't mess with Jung. And in announcing the decision to cancel the holiday debut, Sony also hit back at the hackers who threaten movie theaters and moviegoers and who have terrorized the studio and its employees for weeks. Those who have attacked us stole our intellectual property, private emails, and sensitive and proprietary material and sought to destroy our spirit and morale, all apparently to thwart the release of a movie they did not like. Well, they did it. They won. You don't mess with these crazy people. And what the intellectuals, what the Hollywood elite, what other people do not understand is that these folks don't care. They don't want to rationalize. They don't want to negotiate. They don't respect you. And I guess there's just a culture shock. When the terrorist comes up and says, I'm going to punch you in the face because I don't like you, you can't make them like you. And when you talk about going after the leader of North Korea, who has killed his own uncle, who is a brutal, reprehensible dictator, that's what's going to happen. You know, James Franco and Seth Rogen, they go on TV and they're tough guys. They're scared for their lives. They've got round-the-clock security. That's the world we live in today. And somebody should have said, guys, we probably shouldn't have made this movie. Just a thought. I'd love to hear your reaction to the interview being canceled. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
And back, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Since spring of last year, the U.S. and Cuba meeting in secret in Canada, in the Vatican, on ways to reestablish diplomatic relations.
The president has long sought to make this change, and the chief impediment to his ability to make that change was the unjust detention of Mr. Gross.
Press Secretary Josh Earnest arguing the half-century-old trade embargo and Cold War footing is outdated and ineffective.
It's a fallacy to believe that Cuba will reform.
Bob Menendez, the top Democrat on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, accusing the president of giving the Cuban regime a lifeline. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News Radio.
Boy, that is something that we would never have thought we would ever see in our lifetimes. That we would have the administration normalizing relations with Cuba. Now, how many of you have Amazon Prime or what have you, and maybe you have a tablet? You ever, there's a show on there by Gary Trudeau. You know who Gary Trudeau is. He wrote Doomsbury for years. Maybe he still does. And basically what Doomsbury is, it's a comic where, you know, it's bash the Republicans, bash, bash, bash. Not Dana Bash, but just bashing Republicans. So in it, one of the senators, to impress his girlfriend who left him, decides that he's going to announce normalizing relations with Cuba. And it's so outrageous, most of us thought that that could never, would ever happen. So now here you have the administration. And what does it say, my dear fellow patriot, that we're bending over with the Ayatollahs, we're taking it from ISIS, we're doing all these other things, and now we're going to save the Cuban regime? And by the way, Bob Menendez, as you heard, he's a Democrat. He's supposed to be toeing the party line. This regime was finally done. And then you heard, and if you listened at the top of the hour, you heard some guy, in my opinion, a nitwit, saying, well, if you had a CEO and the policies hadn't been working for so many years, you'd fire him. Got to do something different. I mean, is everything about the blankety-blank business? I mean, where's our national interest in this? But the president, and I got to admit, it seems like he's glory hunting on this one. And essentially, he's looking to, you know, history. He got us out of Iraq. He got us out of Afghanistan. never mind the cost, he brought Cuba in. Wow, what's next, Putin? Joining us now, our expert on Vladimir Putin, and in fact, I believe that he's had a few judo matches with him, Simon Owen of Fox News Radio from London. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Kevin.
Who would win, you or Putin, in a judo match?
I don't think there's any question it wouldn't be me, that's for sure.
Well, Vladimir had his moment yesterday to the world where he talked about the West doing this, that, and the other. What did he say, and how was it received, sir?
Well, I mean, he's actually just wrapped up his annual news conference. It took place this morning. He holds this at the end of each year, and it's a chance for people to fire questions at him. Probably still screened to a degree, but still you get the chance to answer the questions, after a big year for Vladimir Putin. It lasted 3 hours this year, talked nonstop, and it's pretty much 3 hours to the minute. And this is a year that started with Russia hosting the Olympics, the Winter Olympics. Then a month later, it invaded Ukraine and took over the Crimea Peninsula and seized that region. Then it's been accused of being involved in, very heavily involved in, the ongoing fighting in eastern Ukraine, and all of that leading to Western sanctions from the US and European Union, which have started to nip at the Russian economy, plus in recent weeks tumbling oil prices, which have really hammered it. And now the value of the Russian currency has lost half of its value since the summer, and they're facing a pretty testing time, including for ordinary Russians going forward, for as long as oil is in the state that it's in. So an interesting time for him to have to face the press. What he said was the usual remarks, really. He admitted that things aren't great, but he said that Russia's economy will be fixed within 2 years, he reckons. And he says that Russia will emerge stronger. It's going to be forced to diversify, forced to become a stronger economy, and will come out of this looking very good indeed. He said the oil prices were doing the most damage rather than sanctions. I think that's probably a fair assessment. But he also defended the seizure of Crimea, and he said whatever would have happened, the West would have found an excuse to punish us. He was calling Russia repeatedly the bear, which is a nickname that Russia often gets. And in one occasion he said that whatever had happened this year, the West was always determined to try and remove the bear's fangs. So Crimea or not, they'd have punished Russia somehow.
Right, and for those of you keeping score at home, if you missed it, here's a little Putin with Simon.
Our economy will overcome the current situation. How much time is needed for that? I believe about 2 years in the worst scenario.
I go back to trying to defang the bear. Those are pretty harsh words.
Yeah, and there was also a rather more complicated analogy saying that, you know, maybe one day they will leave the bear in peace to go and eat honey and berries in the woods. But if the bear continues to eat meat, they will continue to go after it and take off its claws and take off its fangs. It was rather complicated, or at least certainly in translation it was. But yes, the message is really along the same lines of what Russian state media and Putin have been saying in recent months. They acknowledge now that things are not great, and there are stores raising prices quite significantly in Moscow and across Russia, and that is a problem for ordinary Russians. But Putin sticking to the line that this is the fault of the West, and when you're in a country where a lot of people, if not most, get their news from state media, that does buy you a bit more time. So his popularity ratings remain, we think, something like 80% plus. And there was one pollster saying earlier this week that with the way the state media is controlled, that kind of popularity rating gives Putin perhaps 18 months or 2 years of security before his position starts to look wobbly.
Right, and even if it does, I mean, who's going to have enough guts to replace him?
Well, yes, there is that. I mean, the next election isn't for another 4 years. He was asked today if he will be standing in that, and he said it was too early to decide, too early for anyone to say that they were going to stand in the 2018 election. Again, I think that might be true as well, but it's hard to see him walking away when he could still have another term. You know, he came to power at the turn of the millennium, bang on 2000, and has done two terms as president. Then he slipped away to be prime minister for a few years, but was still basically in control. That allowed him, though, to reset the clock and start another two terms as president. Those terms have now been extended, so I think they're 7 years at a time. So potentially, if he wins for president again in 2018 and wins, he'll be in power in Russia for 25 years.
Just a little worried about the Polish honey And, you know, if he's looking at Poland at all, you know, when he's talking about honey, or would Poland be the meat?
Well, I mean, the meat is what's got him into trouble in the last few months. I mean, there are plenty of countries in Eastern Europe, many of them NATO members like Latvia and Lithuania, much smaller countries than Ukraine, who are concerned that they could be next in Russia's sights. Now, with the economy going the way it is, on the one hand, you could argue nothing to lose. Why not have a go at one of those? On the other hand, it would bring enormous headache, particularly if you went and got involved in a NATO country. But those countries remain pretty concerned about this. And there are various countries in Europe that keep reporting unusual activities by the Russian Air Force, various provocative-looking flight paths over airspace, and occasionally actually going into a country's airspace, which is a bit more of a diplomatic incident. But right now, that is speculation and that is concerns. And NATO countries have been looking to reassure those smaller members that they are listening to those concerns. But right now, not necessarily anything that that is particularly ready to be acted on.
Simon, hopefully we'll talk to you before Christmas. If not, Merry Christmas.
Thanks a lot, Kevin. Oh, and by the way, Kevin, just before you go, there was one question, I'm not sure if he was expecting it, about Vladimir Putin's love life following his recent divorce, and he said, everything's fine.
Thank you, Simon.
Thanks a lot.
All right, Simon Owen joining us, Fox News Radio. Look, we heard that Simon said Putin could take him, and Putin's love life is doing quite well. All right, it is 6:47. Whew. Feel a little peaked after that one. Let's get you to traffic now.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. A few things we are talking about this. Apparently, we've got this issue involving the interview being given the boot, normalized relations with Cuba, plagiarism being used to teach the state school superintendent a lesson, and other news of the day. As we take a look at things, and we'll talk a little bit more about this coming up. Coming up next hour, we'll take a look at China as well. But I do want to hit you with a few things. By the way, does anybody understand just how much of a repressive regime Cuba is? You know, the human rights abuses and everything else. And yet here we have NBC News and others calling this such a momentous day. Let's take a listen.
Well, good day from New York. A momentous day, especially for those Americans old enough to remember the Cold War. The curtain came down between Cuba and the United States in January of 1961, and in just a moment, diplomatic relations, at least the first steps to which, will be reestablished. It is a day of momentous change, fast-moving change, and in a moment, we're going to hear from the president, Chris Jansing. On the White House lawn, Chris, quite a day.
Unbelievable. 50 years of change. The first phone call, as you mentioned, between the leaders of these two countries since the revolution.
There's no doubt about it. This is a rapid period of change. And Andrea, sum up what we have just seen take place in the last half hour.
It's extraordinary.
I was 2 years old when the curtain went up between our two countries. This spans the scope of our adult lives as Americans.
Absolutely, and it's hard to avoid the symbolism of it. This is one of the last vestiges of the Cold War, and the taking down, if you will, of the symbolic walls or substantive walls between the United States and Cuba marks, yet again, the end of that era of history.
At this momentous day between these two nations, something tumbled down that has been in place for half a century.
There we have it, NBC. Why don't they just call themselves the President Obama News Service? Cuba is still a horrible regime. Cuba still, by the way, we're releasing three Cuban spies. Cuba still has brutal human rights violations. And why are we doing this? As I said before, the president, in my opinion, is desperate. He's a desperate man. Okay, the Ferguson race-baiting riots haven't really done what they are supposed to do as far as tearing America down. Obamacare is about to be overturned in the Supreme Court. He has lost the House historically, the most power the opposition party, the Republicans, have had for over 80 years. The Senate is gone. He's going to be a lame duck, and the only ally he has right now is the major news media. So the president is playing for history. He's not playing for value. We take a look at unemployment numbers. The president's backers, led by my friend Buddy Scott in Chicago, will say that unemployment is down. The president's lying. We all know the president's lying. If a Republican comes in, all of a sudden that 5% is going to go to 10%, to 12%, to 13%. All the president has done is added part-time jobs. You know, Utah, and folks, I don't really swear a lot on the air because I have a great respect for you and for this forum, but the disservice that the, in my opinion, the regime has done to the American working man and woman is horrific. Where industries are going under, where the press doesn't report it, and we're working two or three jobs just to have a below standard of living that we had 10 years ago. And the sycophants that back this man that will tell us things are great. Well, the things are great if you're investing in the stock market. Things are great there, although the recent weeks not so much. Build upon that, my friends, where you're working two or three jobs, but the unemployment rate's at an all-time low. It doesn't feel like 5% unemployment to me, does it to you? Okay, Obamacare, disaster. We're about ready to find that out. Major blow coming. The president's foreign policy. Which foreign policy would you rather have right now, Bush or Obama? Iraq wasn't blowing up like it is. Iraq lost. ISIS controls Iraq. Syria lost. Libya lost. Benghazi lost. And yet, that's not reported. Afghanistan, I was talking to a friend of mine who had been there recently for the first time, did not feel very safe. But what the president is playing for is not for results. He's playing for history so he can say, oh, Obama brought us health care. Well, he destroyed the economy. Never mind about that. Never mind that, you. Obama got us out of Iraq. Yeah, but he made the situation worse by leaving. That's enough out of you. Obama got us out of Afghanistan. See Iraq. Obama, he normalized relations with Cuba. Well, what was the major breakthrough? Does this feel like Mr. Gorbachev tear down these walls? Or it just feels like we've capitulated. Here we are telling the Cubans it's okay to do what you've done for your to your people, to the world for over 50 years. We tell the North Koreans, hey, we make fun of your dictator. Sorry, we didn't mean that because you're going to beat us up. And we have Brian Williams promoting an agenda that is contrary to the national interests of this great country. And I'm sorry that's a little heady before 7 a.m., but come on, that's what it's about. Normalizing relations with Cuba? And the press, instead of saying, well, what led to this? Well, we needed our hostages back. Why don't they do that for Pastor Saeed? Oh, that's right. And the president can also say he's normalized relations with Iran. That's all he's playing for. More on that in a minute. Kevin Miller, 580 KID.